Good morning.
Good morning.
This is another wonderful day, and probably one that we're going to won't have back sometime around the middle of August. But I am so glad that you made it here this morning, and we will remember that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. But not near as prepared as Gene normally is for this. He has a nice script. But for scripture this morning, I'm a reading from the 31st Psalm. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Merciful God, you who love us, you who care so much about us, you who call us your special people, we give thanks to you this morning for your grace, for your kindness, for your compassion, how you put up with us, how you bless us. We thank you for that this morning. But most of all, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our dear Savior, Jesus the Christ, who died for us so that we might have a right to the tree of life. We ask, Lord, that even right now, that his spirit would be among us. But Lord, we know you're here because we're here. And you said, where two or three are gathered, I am with you. We thank you for that, Lord. Bless those that are here today, Lord, and those that are not. We ask, Lord, that you would put your finger of love and touch each one. Help those that had trouble getting out of bed this morning, Lord. Those who had trouble sleeping last night may be in some type of quandary even right now, may not know what to do. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would help us in those regards. We look to you, Lord, for everything, all our help and strength. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you stand for our opening hymn? Oh, Master, let me walk with thee. Oh, Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Help me the sacred, help me hear the strain of toil, the bread of care. Help me the slow.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Morning.
Welcome any guests that are in house of God. The announcements that I have for today is the birthday for today is for Megan Seeley. And then on the 6th is Amy Perez. Now, let us sing happy birthday on the count of three. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more.
Amen. Now, wait a minute, Frank. Frank, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Now, I know we can sing happy birthday better than that. That sounds like we didn't want to wish him a happy birthday. Gayla, can you play a little tune with that happy birthday? Let's try that again.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Amen.
And many more.
I thought maybe because Mr. Whipple is not here. He has a lot of enthusiasm. And does anybody else have any announcements to make today?
I just want to make everybody aware, we have already ordered our Easter lilies. There will be 30 that will be available for us to purchase so we can decorate the altar here on Easter Sunday. They will run $12 a lily. On the 12th, 19th, and I believe it's the 26th, next three Sundays, you will have an order blank so you can place your order for those lilies. And again, thank you very much. It makes our church look so beautiful, and it smells great.
Thank you. Does anybody else have an announcement to make? Okay, thanks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, protect us from the wiles and deceit of the devil, and send us your angels to care for us, that we may love and serve you with undivided devotion, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, you are merciful and you are over all. But so often, Lord, as we live in a world of selfishness, a world of hate, a world that sometimes forgets that you are there. We ask that you forgive us when we join in that unforgiving thoughtfulness or lack of thought. And we ask, Lord, that you give us the mind, give us the spirit to be the beacon in a hurting world. And Lord, now we return to you, our tithes and our offerings, and we ask that you use them and help us to be good stewards of all that you have given to each of us. These things we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Our first scripture is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. And from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, deliver me from the sin that entangles my actions and pollutes my heart. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your forgiveness and grace.
Amen.
As we prepare to hear the message, join with me in prayer. Father God, we come seeking. We come listening. We ask, Lord, that you open our hearts and mind by the power of your Holy Spirit so that we may joyfully hear the message that your Spirit has given to Pastor Ted. As he delivers your word, let him find strength and courage through your Spirit. Help his words to be your words always. And when we leave this place, Lord, let us take your message to the world so that all may know that you are God. These things we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Surrounded by a world of microphones. All right. Good morning. Oh, it's so good to see your wonderful faces this morning. I tell you, I'll say this morning, as I always tell you, and it helps me to when I tell you, Jesus loves you very, very much. He really does, and he thinks that you're very, very special. That's why you're here. That's why you're here, because of his love this morning. My wife and I, we have been blessed. We've got some children, some grandchildren that have offered to pay our airfare to Virginia and also the hotel accommodations and all kind of stuff for a little. They want us to have a little vacation. So when your kids give you a little vacation, especially they pay for it, you go ahead and you take that. Amen? Amen. Anyway, We'll be, if it's the Lord wills and he tarries, we'll be leaving Friday the 17th of this month, flying to Virginia, and then we will be returning on the 22nd of March. So I will be out of the pulpit, but I'm not worried about that because I know the Lord is going to take care of you. Amen? And I know we will be blessed by whomever, whether it be Gene or Tom, that will be preaching. So please be in prayer for them. Amen? Amen. Also, I stand up here asking for prayer for my dear nephew, Johnny Thompson Jr. He's 24 years old, and he was stricken with a stroke the other day. I don't understand it. I don't, and it's not for me to understand, but if you would, please be in prayer. He's on my mind right now. I know I should have waited till the prayer time, and we'll do that again. But we call him Little Johnny, and that's our nephew. And we ask for your prayers for him, that the Lord will bless him and heal him. He's in Tyler, Texas, in the hospital there. You know, it's a great thing. It's an awesome thing to be loved and to be cared for by the Lord. But as we'll see in these scriptures, our blessed Lord had a human side. Amen? Well, he's the Son of God, but he also had a human side. And this human side will show up here in these scriptures and as we prepare to go through and to learn more about our blessed Lord. And what you want to do is be mindful and pay attention, because the way Jesus got through temptation will work for us the same way. You see, three times our Lord was tempted by the devil, and three times Jesus came out on top. You see, overcoming temptation and hardship is possible for all of us because our Lord, he rewires our core and he makes us new. Which brings me to the title of our sermon this morning, Rewired by Christ. We are rewired by Christ. You see, our lives become distinctive and intriguing as we overcome common hardships, temptations, in a way that gives hope to others. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it states that we become new creatures. Old things are gone. We are now new people. So I want you to keep that in mind as we journey through these scriptures this morning. So we're going to start a new series. It's called, during the season of Lent, and we're going to call it Letting Go. Letting Go. And this will be the first of those sermons in that series. So I just want to remind you this morning, Lent is a time for us to assess ourselves and to make adjustments. We want to, it's time for us to recalibrate to God's way. It's time for us to get back to the way the things ought to be and put away those things that we were doing wrong. You see, the purpose of repentance and reflection is not to put ourselves under condemnation, but to offer ourselves up for salvation. And this is very, very, very important because this is our guiding light. You see, God did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So we're going to see that overcoming temptations, we can do it also. We can do it also. And I don't know about you sometimes, but sometimes I feel like my wiring inside is just all messed up. You know, what's wrong with me, Lord? Why do I do the things I do? Why do I keep doing those things? Did God make me this way on purpose? You see, I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle, and every now and then I worry. I try to change things and get better, but sometimes it can be so frustrating at our lack of promises, progress. So I wonder this morning, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? And I wonder, do you ever feel that way? Or I wonder, am I the only one? So let's keep in mind this. He didn't send his son into the world, not to condemn, but to save the world through him. So if you're like me and you feel a little messed up, God doesn't condemn you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He actually came to save us. He sees our mess. And boy, we can really be in a mess. You see, he sees our mess and our brokenness, and it does not scare him away at all. In fact, he wants us to draw closer to him. He understands us, and he enters into our lives to save us and not to condemn us. That's a very important reminder. So I want to introduce to you a word today, a word that new to me anyway, probably not new to you. That word is called habitus. H-A-B-I-T-U-S. Habitus. It sounds a lot like habits, but it's not the same thing. But they're closely related. You see, habits are what we do, but habitus, that's who we are. And this great term comes from a Frenchman by the name of Pierre Bourdieu, and it simply means our eternal habitual reflective behavior. You see, when we automatically react to something, we're acting out of our habits. Our habitus is a combination of all our beliefs, our understanding, our personality, and our habits. Everything. It's the very core of who we are and why we do it and what we do. So keep in mind that term, habitus. So to be blunt, your habitus could be bad, it could be good, it could be selfish, it could be generous, it could be sinister, or it could be Christ-like. You know, it will choose to love, or it will choose to hate. It all depends on what we believe, like this, and how we react, put in action what we believe over a long period of time. So I wonder this morning, my habitual behavior, is it distinctive and intriguing? Do I face common and terrible problems in ways that offer hope? Are my actions reflective of what I believe? Folks are watching you to see how you react to things and challenges in your life. Folks are seeing how Alamo United Methodist Church deals with problems and issues in their midst. How do we do things? What's our habitus like? Is our habitus like Jesus? I certainly hope so. You see, do I face common and terrible problems in ways that offer hope? And are my actions reflective of what I believe? So what about you? But today, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that demonstrates what Jesus is all about. And that is our goal, dear ones, is to be more and more and more like Jesus. Now, as we look at Matthew 4, 1 through 11, I want to make some observations here. So let's look, if you have your Bibles, and Cheryl, oh, never mind. Could you put that up there, please, for me? Ed's got it. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Look in your Bibles if you have it. If not, or look in your bulletins. Thank you. Look in your bulletins. Thank you. Jesus had just finished 40 days of fasting, and he was tempted by the devil. You see, this is the Lord's human side. You see, first the thing, the devil tempted him to turn stones into bread. Then the devil tempted him to throw himself off the temple. And then the devil tempted Jesus to worship him and return, receive all the kingdom of this world as his own. But I want you to notice this. Did you notice how the devil barks at Jesus? Do this. Say this. Do that. You see, the enemy is very demanding and bossy and manipulative and hurried. Our blessed Savior is never like that. If you ever feel God is speaking to you in that kind of way, in a demanding, bossy, manipulative, and a hurried way, that's not your Heavenly Father. That's your accuser. You see, the devil talked to Jesus as if he was in charge. But notice this. The devil barked 3 commands at Jesus. No effect. None. Jesus spoke 1 command to the devil, and the devil immediately obeyed. Our Savior has all authority over demonic powers, including the devil. And guess what, folks? If you belong to Jesus, then you have all of Jesus with you. You have all of him with you. In fact, in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, it says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority." And another quick observation is what the devil used to tempt Jesus with. What were his best tools? You know, the best tools he could find in his little evil toolbox to give him the best shot at derailing the Son of God. First of all, the devil tempted him with what? Lots of food. He says, "Turn these stones into bread." Then he tempted Jesus with safety and security. He says, "Throw yourself down and you will not strike your foot against the stone." And then he tempted our Lord with wealth and power. He says, "All this I'll give you if you will bow down and worship me." The best tools the devil came up with were this: comfort, security, wealth, power. And Jesus rejected them all. Now, stay with me here. Stay with me. You see, now what does that tell us about God's priorities, his priorities for us? Comfort and security and wealth and power are the exact same temptation the devil used to derail us. Those are the things that he throws at you to get you off the beaten path. Comfort, security, wealth, and power. We need only to look to see how our Lord handled it, to see how we can handle it also. You see, and it says, all these things can be easily idols in our life. You know, God has much greater things in store for us than just mere comfort, security, wealth, and power. You know what, folks? Maybe we don't realize it, but maybe we have, God has more for us than we could ever imagine, more than we could ever hope for. That's why he tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, because he has something better for us. The great Christian writer C.S. Lewis said this: it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong. Maybe we don't want much, but not too strong, but they're actually weak. He says we are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink, sex, and ambition, you know, all those things, comfort, security, wealth, and power, when we could have infinite peace and joy. He says we go around like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a vacation at the beach. Wow. We are far too easily pleased. Now look at how Jesus responded to these temptations. The devil tempted him 3 times with the best he had, and each time Jesus held up strong, and overcame the challenge. So let's look at our Lord's habits, his eternal reflective behavior. The first thing he did, he responded with Scripture. He always responded with Scripture. Now, what does that tell you about your quest to get to defeat temptation? Know your Scripture. Read your Bible. Know what's going on. Learn those Scriptures. Memorize them. Meditate on them. Get closer and closer to those Scriptures. Let those Scriptures be the very light in your life. Instead of watching Dancing with the Stars or whatever, read your Bible. I'm talking to myself because I know nobody watches that much TV. He responded with Scripture. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Folks, as I was growing up, preachers used to tell me, and people in the church would tell me something about prayer. They would say, little prayer, very little power in your life. The devil will kick you around like nothing. Much prayer, if you have a prayer life, if you are one who are staying close to the Lord, praying, and not just, now I lay me down to sleep, not that kind of prayer. I mean heartfelt prayer. You know, then you'll draw closer to the Lord. And that's what our Lord did. He used Scriptures. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's also written, do not put your Lord God to the test. He's quoting Scriptures from Deuteronomy, from the Old Testament. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. This is also from Deuteronomy. So when we read and reflect on our Scripture, it becomes a part of our habits. It becomes part of our behavior. Our eternal wiring gets set the way the Lord wants to it. You see, when we suddenly find ourselves in a tempting situation, and you will, if you hadn't already been tempted, the Holy Spirit brings important verses to our mind in order to strengthen us and encourage us. Have you ever been tempted by something and all of a sudden a Scripture comes to your mind, to your heart, and you say, wait a minute, the Lord said not to do that. That comes from reading your Bible and staying in the Scripture. You see, Scripture gives a voice to the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our mind. Some folks say, well, Jesus never talks to me. God never talks to me. Do you read your Bible? Do you pray? Second thing Jesus did, he responded out of relational trust in the Father. You see, doing this takes the Scripture a little bit deeper. He responded with Scripture, but beneath those verses was a trust in the Heavenly Father and what the Scripture points to. Jesus didn't just have a relationship with the Bible. He had a relationship with the God of the Bible. And that goes for us also. You see, the Bible exists to point us to a living God, a loving Father. Oh, I can't emphasize enough this morning to read your Bible. Now, relational trust is different from just mere belief in doctrine. Doctrine is very important, but it's secondary to a relationship with the Lord. You see, a lot of folks got the correct doctrine. They say the right things. They know the right thing. Yet, their relationship with the Father isn't there. And this is shown by their action, by their habits. Many people who have the correct doctrine, and they don't know nothing about walking in fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Others have questionable doctrine. They may not know as much, but they have a relationship with the Father, with God. You see, these folks eventually, they get it right and things straighten out because it's God Himself. He's a loving Father and a living God, and He helps them through it. So relational trust is faith in the person of God. It's a trust in His character. Another thing Jesus did, and this is one of my big ones, He responds with self-control. You see, His habitus, His response to the devil was also one of self-control. Now, most of us feel we lack self-control, or at least we lack a large amount of self-control. But I want you to know that self-control is something we all can grow in. It can be part of our habitus, of our core response. Now, I want to tell you something about self-control. If you're tempted, this is what the Bible says about self-control in James. It says, submit yourself to the Lord. And what else does it say? Any of you Bible scholars, Bible, you know what James says about it? Something very important. This will help you. This is something that I had to learn the hard way, and I'm still learning. It says this, resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? Well, let me give you an example on how to do this. In Genesis, there's a story of Joseph. And Joseph had been elevated in the Egyptians. I guess he was a big official, Potiphar's, his household. But Potiphar's wife had an eye for Joseph. He was a good-looking young man, and she wanted him badly. So she fixed out a way that she would get to Joseph. So when the house was all empty, she came to Joseph one day and said, Joseph, would you lay with me? And Joseph looked at her and says, no, I can't do that. And she persisted. And this is Joseph's self-control. He ran out of the house and he left his coat behind him. He took off. I would submit to you today, when temptations come, when you attempted to go to that website and look at stuff you don't know, you know you got no business looking at, run. Run away from it. Get away from it. Get into scriptures and say, Lord, deliver me. The one thing that I got to tell you, and I found this out the hard way. If you eat the devil's corn, he'll choke you with his car. If you play in his backyard, he'll want to take over. If you let him drive, he'll want off. It says if you let him ride, he'll want to drive. What I'm trying to tell you is resist him. Run away from him. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Now, those are not hard. It would seem that those are hard things, but it's not. Remember that. Resist him. You see, greater is he that is in you that is in the world. You have someone inside of you. You have been rewired by the Savior. You don't have to do those things. You know what happens to us? Oh, okay, I'm going to go to this club tonight, but you know, I'm a Christian. I'm just going to have one drink. I can handle it. I can handle it. I'm grown. I can do all these things. Well, you get to that club and you get to having a good time, and all of a sudden things get out of hand. Get out of hand. Don't go in there. Don't go. Get away from those things and run to Jesus. Self-control is very, very important, and self-control can be accomplished by you staying with the Savior and following His way. To be rewired by Christ means that you are under His control. You're under the control of the Holy Spirit, not under control of the world. Stay with the Lord. Stay with him. Follow his teachings. Follow his ways. Well, I can't. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can. If you want to. Amen? I found out we do whatever we want to. We say we can't, but we can do whatever we want to. Whatever we want to. So that, those are the three things that Jesus used to get by temptation. He used self-control. He was with the Father, relationship with the Father, and he knew his Bible. And believe me, folks, if they work for Jesus, they'll work for you also. I would challenge you this morning to do those things. Now, here's some good news. When you're facing temptations or hardships, you can respond with those things, with scripture, relationship, trust, and self-control. You see, you've been rewired, and now your behavior has been changed. You are a new creature, and you see, you can get away from those things. You see, transformation can happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. Renewal can happen. It's possible to all who follow and believe. Jesus will rewire our very core. He'll wash our minds with scripture. He'll help us to live in a relation of trust with the Father. And he will help us to grow in self-control. I tell you what, folks, I challenge you the rest of this week, even today, put some of those practices that we talked about this morning, self-control and reading scripture and have a great relationship with the Father. Put some of those in control, and who knows, over these next 40 days or beyond, you'll develop some lifelong, life-giving habits. May the Lord bless you and keep you this morning. May he ever hold you always close to him. And when temptation comes, may he always be there to help you. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that you lead us out of temptation and that you deliver us from sin, from evil. We need you, Lord. We need your strength, your love to overcome these tests, these temptations and these challenges that we face today and every day. Thank you that you are freely willing to give. Amen and amen. As we prepare for our invitation this morning, rewired by Christ. In order to live these things that we talked about this morning, your heart has to be in the right place. What I'm saying is you must have that right relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you don't have that right relationship, all of this sounds very strange to you. And I don't know your heart, and I don't know what's inside, and I don't know what you're dealing with. But I can tell you this. There is someone here, even right now, can help you. If you're not right with the Lord, now is an awesome time to get things right with the Lord. The altar is open for anyone. You may pray in your seat, or if you want prayer, you may come to the altar. Tom and I will pray with you. But whatever you want to do, I pray that today would be a great day, a day that you will start out on the right path. And let me say this, not just for 40 days, but for all times. The altar is open for all who wish to come. Would you please stand, please?
Our hymn of invitation this morning is For the Beauty of the Earth. Day and of the
Lord of all, today we raise this our hymn of grateful praise for the joy of here and I, for the heart and mind's delight, for the mystic harmony linking sense to sound and sight. Lord of all, today we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Joy of joy of here and love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild. Lord of all, today we raise this our hymn of grateful praise.
Amen. You may be seated. God's not through with us yet. Some of us, it takes a long while to get us rewired right. Amen. Some of us got some bad wiring, but know this. He loves you very much, and he will rewire you if you let him, amen? If you stay with him and trust him. So I leave you this morning with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Don't lean to your own understanding. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.
As we prepare for receiving the communion, remember that this is not the table of Alamo or the table of the United Methodist Church. This is the table instituted by Jesus Christ, and it is a table open for all. As long as you are in right relationship with God, we ask that you come forward to partake. The ushers will guide you as you come forward. Now, we will have the wafers and the juice available to you as you come up. For those that that do not want to take an open communion, we do have the pre-filled cups over in the basket over here. You may partake of those. Once you have consumed the elements, if you choose to pray at the altar, please take time to do so. You give your empty cups in the receptacles provided. You come forward by the center aisle, return to your seat by the side aisle. Thank you. The baskets here are for our communion offering for the Agape Ministry. We do take up a special collection every Communion Sunday to help support those. We do not have the staff to support those in need. Agape takes our contributions along with those of other churches and uses them to help those in need.
Communion stewards, would you come forward, please? Your communion liturgy is on page 12 in the United Methodist hymnal, also on the screen. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another.
Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing. Always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. And by the baptism and of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. And through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
Church say amen. 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 You know, in the
In the scriptures, they said they all started, they sang a real lively hymn after a communion. So, Randy, could we have a real lively hymn, something real short, real quick, you know?
Oh,
something easy?
You told me that about an hour ago.
I know. Could you please stand with us, please? Something easy, something simple, quick. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
404. 404. No. That ain't lively.
One, two.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. And every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Up on the mountain, my Lord spoke, and His mouth came. The heaven and runs right back. And every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. And every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray.
Amen. Thank you, Randy. Amen. Now, I got one more thing. One more thing for you. I want you to shake the person's hand next to you, if you can. Just shake their hand or at least say, hello, how are you? Hello. Amen.
Hello.
Randy, you ain't going to let me forget this, are you? Amen. Hi, choir. Good job, choir. Good job. Good job.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Amen. Love you, hon. Okay. Randy?
What?
Is it you or Tom? I'm through. I didn't sit down now. You may be seated, please. You may be seated. Oh.
Let's continue to keep all of our first responders, our military personnel, our health care providers, workers, in our thoughts and prayers, along with all of our homebound friends and family members. Every chance you get, try to say thank you and give them a call. Continue to keep all of God's children around the world in our thoughts and prayers, especially the people of Ukraine, even the people of Russia, along with all of the people, the rescuers of the earthquakes over in Syria and Turkey. Continue uplifting all of our churchgoers here. Prayers of uplifting and support for Gerda's sister, Emma Gard. Prayers for Les. Continued prayers for David and Lisa Edwards, Virginia Molenhoff, and her granddaughter Reagan. Continued prayers of support for Rose Garcia's family, Diane Skaggs' daughter, Lisa Veda, for Dixie Souter's sister Martha, and as we heard earlier, for Pastor and Tessie's nephew, he calls Little Johnny. Lord, hear our prayers. Continued prayers of healing for Tessie, who is doing wonderful, and beautiful to see her this morning. And we can also give a clap for Keith. He's up in Mobile. For Bonnie Chambers and her family, Lord, hear our prayers. Eileen Fader, and continued prayers of support and a lifting up of Alice Tyler's family. Lord, hear our prayers. Prayers for Homer Vargas, for Janice Walker, and for James Murphy. For Donna Walker, for Sandy Bundick, for Lance Shaw, and for Jean and Elaine Bixler. Lord, hear our prayers. For Laura Dixon's family, and it's wonderful to see Linda McMillan this morning, and for James Whitney and his family. Lord, hear our prayers. Thanks be to God that they're here. So, hallelujah. Also, continued prayers to everyone going out and answering God's calling to hear our prayers and support and to just be here. And please, if you do anything else, just say thank you and be kind to one another. Anne is asking prayers for Mary Anna Palmer, the mother-in-law of Patricia Holland Simon. Lord, hear our prayers. And Homer is asking prayers for his neighbor, Joaquin Gonzalez in hospice, and Gregory Puentes also in hospice. You know, Lord, hear our prayers. Thanks be to God to all of us, and enjoy this beautiful, wonderful Sunday. And as a reminder, I know Frank, Pastor Tom, and I, we own 9:30 Wednesday morning.
Prestige.
Or we can do it at 7.
Start without us.
Start without me. 9:30 for any trustees that can make it.
Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come to this your house and we feel your presence. We know that you are with us. But as we leave here, Lord, sometimes we leave your presence and we leave all thoughts of you as we face a world that's uncaring. Forgive us for that, Lord. Help us to be mindful that you are with us always, that you care for us, and that you provide your healing touch to those that need it. We ask, Lord, that you give comfort to those that we have named. And more so, Lord, we ask that you give comfort to those that we feel we cannot name, those that we hold close in our hearts. We ask, Lord, that you allow us to take your Spirit with us and to be mindful that your Spirit speaks in a soft voice with urgings and not with a loud roar and whisper always. Let us heed those whispers. Let us be mindful that you are the guide, that we are simply your servants in all that we do. We ask, Lord, that you give us strength, that you give us courage, that you give us the will to be your servants in all. And these things that we always ask, being mindful of your Son and Savior, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
As we prepare to leave this place,
though, during this closing hymn, if you need healing and would like to be anointed with oil, please come forward during the final hymn after we've extinguished the lights. But you have heard that we have been rewired by God. We have been rewired to be His servants. And we can rebuke the devil just as Jesus did. Scripture is a powerful, powerful ally, but it is not enough. Take the love of Christ with you and spread that love to all the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Would you stand for our closing hymn? Seek ye first.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you.